So I want to start with a question today. How many of you guys would say this is a true statement? God is good and life is hard. It's not always hard. There's some great seasons. In fact, when you ask people how they're doing, they often say, I'm doing great. Does that mean they don't have hard stuff going on in their life? No. I was thinking about the project we had outside with the sewer line and all kind of stuff, and it was open, and somebody almost fell in one time, and you know, and so I'm so glad that it's cemented right now. But life goes on, and you know, lots of stuff we can handle, lots of stuff we try to figure out, but there's things that happen in our life that are just overwhelm, that just sidetrack us, that spin us out into anxiety and stress and fear. And in those moments, we struggle. In fact, what's an interesting thing is that we started a new series last week called Cheer Up, right? Because it's a series of encouragement. And I think Pastor Tim did an amazing job starting us off. And how do you get through depression? How do you get to the other side of depression? And he shared his heart and he shared his life. And I thought it was really powerful. In fact, if you haven't seen it or if you guys haven't seen it, you should check it out this week. It's worth your listen. But today I want to talk about another one of these hard questions, because life is hard sometimes. And it goes like this. How do you overcome doubt? And before you check out real quick, let me just say that this is one that applies to everybody here, right? Otherwise, you'd have constant peace instead of stress. You'd have constant hope instead of fear. You'd have constant strength instead of weakness. I love that video that we just watched, because one of the resounding refrains, if you're watching, is hold on. And so I think hold on just a second in the midst of all you're going through, but I also think hold on with both arms, because as you're going through the storms, you need that rock. You need that God that comes in and pursues you with his love. You need that hope. You need that strength. You need that perspective. You need everything, because you're overwhelmed. But this doubt thing that we do is something that we all struggle with. Otherwise, again, we'd have constant goodness and not all the struggles that we have. And if your struggle is like that, and I do for sure, then you're not alone, because you go through scriptures and you see it over and over and over. You have men and women who are devoted, passionate followers of God that they found themselves regularly in situations where they too would question God, where they would question their faith. In fact, what was one of Jesus' resounding gongs as he was talking to his disciples over and over and over? And you guys know what it is even before I say it, but he would look at them almost with just like, are you kidding me? And he'd say, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? In my mind, I always think he says this, why did you doubt again, right? Like, we just showed you all these miracles. He just did all this stuff. He just heard these amazing teachings. Why did you doubt again? It was like 5 minutes ago, right? Why did you doubt again? I think it's a great question, because we have those words in scripture and we've seen them come through in our life in the past. And so why do we doubt? It seems like over and over and over again. Truth is, I wish we didn't. I think our lives would be so much better. We'd have peace and we'd have strength and we'd have hope all the time. We'd watch the news and be like, all right, God, what are you going to do? You know, we wouldn't get freaked out by what we're looking at and all that kind of stuff. But we do get stressed and we do get worried and we do doubt along the way. So let me say this as clearly as I can. Having doubts doesn't make you less a child of God. It just means that you're human. It means that you're a sinner. And that trusting God with everything, the way the world comes at us with all of Satan, all he's trying to do to get us to doubt, is just really, really hard sometimes. And that doesn't mean it's okay. I mean, doubt is the absence of faith. It's the absence of trust. It's saying, God, we don't believe you. We don't trust you in this moment. It's called sin. It's not a good thing. But it does mean we do it all the time. And that's why we struggle the way we do as we go through this life. Yet I want to contrast that just for a second with this. And I'll say it this way, clearly, as both the scriptures and our own life would testify, if we could do more of this trusting God thing instead of this doubting God things, our life would be a lot better. I mean, just objectively, think about it. Our lives, would it be less complicated? Yeah. Would it be less stressful? Yeah. Would it be less fearful and more hopeful and more peaceful and more joyful in our lives? Absolutely. Because in the midst of the storm, you could find him. In the midst of the storm, you know he's got you. In the midst of the storm, you know he's working. In the midst of the storm, you're not freaking out, because God's got you as you're going through. So the question really becomes today, what do we do when we're in the midst of the storms of life, when we're in the midst of the hard things, when we're in the midst of the frustrations, when we're in the midst of the anxieties, when we're in the midst of the fears? How do we get back to trust? How do we get back to trusting God? And as we talk about this today, I'm going to give you three things that are actually the three things, if you really unpack them, they're huge in helping us move from doubt
or stress or anxiety or worry, right? To trust and peace and hope and strength. And so the first one I'm going to give you is super easy. So you can get the one pretty easy, right? You have to know Scripture a little bit, but whatever you know of Scripture, you can do it. The first one is remember God's track record. And this is really about gaining perspective, right? This is about stepping back and looking at the big picture. I'm going to use Psalm 77 today. And Psalm 77 was written by a guy named Asaph. And he wrote a bunch of the Psalms, but he says this today. I recall all that you've done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts, and I cannot stop thinking about them. God, you're amazing. You're awesome. And he's going off on this thing. But I want you to notice four words in the midst of this verse. Remember, recall, thoughts, and thinking. They all refer back to our minds. Because here's a principle I want you to get this morning. Our memory is a friend to faith. As I look back at my own life, I marvel at how faithful God's been to me in the midst of my ups and downs. I marvel how faithful he's been to me and the track record that he has to get me through things, even when I was freaking out and doubting and stressing and fearing the whole time. I'm amazing how he's got me to this point in my life. I'm 54. I'm standing up here on a Sunday morning getting to talk to you guys. I'm amazing how God has got me to this point in my life where I still trust him in the midst of all of the times I don't. I'm amazed at his faithfulness, at his track record as I look at my life. And then as I look at the scripture, I'm even more amazed. I was actually thinking about this thing the other day, or actually this summer, when I was going from here to Michigan with my dad, and we were on this plane, we were like 600 feet in the air, or sorry, 600 feet, we were 31,000, that's why I look at my notes, 31,000 feet in the air, we were going 600 miles an hour, we're trapped in this little Coke-sized, can-sized little thing, contraption, flying through the air with like 200 other people on it. I was looking out the windows, and I was looking, at, you couldn't see anything because we were going through the clouds, and I was like, wow, this is intense, you know, And so just for fun, I started looking around the cabin, but nobody was stressed out. You know, nobody was nervous. Nobody seemed upset or panicky. And why was that? Well, because we trusted the track record of the airline, right? Or at least air travel. I mean, I don't know. Why weren't we worried? I don't know. But, you know, we just trusted. We trusted that somebody built the plane that knew what they were doing. And then we trusted that somebody, you know, inspected the plane to make sure the first guy knew what they were doing. And then we trusted that somebody put gas in the plane. And I guess recently we trusted that somebody, you know, fastened all the bolts to the plane. And we trusted that there was, you know, pilots in the cockpit, even though I never actually saw them get into the cockpit. I just assumed they were there. I assumed they were flying the plane. It's not, you know, it's not like they have those self-driving cars, I hope, you know. But I was just trusting that. And I was trusting that the instrumentation was working, right? And that, you know, that was faithful to what they were doing. And I was trusting they had all sorts of experience, that this was not their first time flying a plane. And I trusted all that experience and all that other stuff that I trusted would help us to our destination safely. And then I was thinking, because I'm a pastor and I'm a little weird, I was like, you know, that's kind of like our relationship with God. Because of all the stuff we've done, he's got this amazing track record, and we can trust that. And so as we're sitting in our little seat, as we're going through life, we don't have to be nervous, we don't have to be stressful, we don't have to be anxious, because God does have this incredible track record. Asaph, again, he kind of pipes in Psalm 77, and he says, when I think about your wondrous deeds, I constantly think about them. Or another translation says, I meditate on your wonderful works. I ponder them because they're true. I don't know why we have to say because they're true, because God is true, because he is real, because he has done all these things. It should give us the confidence that he'll do them again in the future. And there's all sorts of stories in the Bible that should give us hope, and this should give us peace and confidence that God cares about us. In fact, I'll just give you some. Because all these stories in the Bible are, so many of them, historically verifiable. But if God can take 2 million people out of bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt and deliver them, and if God can part the waters of the Red Sea to allow them to escape, an actual miracle, and if God can use his powers to knock down the walls of an entire city, the city of Jericho, and if God can take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and deliver them from a fiery furnace and have them not be harmed in some way, and if God can shut the mouths of the lions so that they don't eat his prophet Daniel because of his faithfulness, and if God is able to take his own son Jesus and watch him die, but then have the power to raise him from the dead, then maybe, just maybe, that's enough of a track record to show that God cares about you too. I mean, put all this in the Bible so that we could see who he is, so we could see his heart, so that we could see his character, so that we could see his power, so that we could see how faithful he has been from the very beginning of time until now. And then maybe we'd understand that track record. And through reading all these stories, we'd find encouragement and hope in the midst of our new journey, in the midst of our current storm, in the midst of our current fears or stresses. But step one is always just time to remember who God is, right? To remember his track record. And then I'm going to go on to a second one. This gets a little harder, right? But it's this. To trust God's character and power. And another, I'm going to say it in a different way. To trust who God is. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter how complicated, no matter, you know, what, if you think you can overcome this certain situation or what, to remember who God is. In Isaiah 40, it says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Lord, the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty power and strength. Not one of them is missing." You know, when I hear passages like this, especially when I see look up to the heavens, I'm kind of thrust back to my astronomy class in college. And I learned a whole bunch of things. I didn't remember any of them, so I looked one up because I thought this was interesting, right? The sun hangs in the sky 93 million miles from here. By comparison to other stars, the sun's just an average-sized star in the galaxy of the Milky Way. We know that the sun is exactly the right distance away from planet Earth to sustain life, and we know it because if we were 100 million miles away, we would freeze to death, and if we were 80 million miles away, we'd burn up. The sun is 333,000 times the size of planet Earth. I think that's a pretty impressive size. Its heat is so intense, it's like a billion nuclear bombs going off every second on the face of the sun. Its heat is so intense that it takes only 8 minutes for the heat to leave the surface of the sun until it hits your skin here on planet Earth, 93 million miles away. It hangs in the sky as a testimony to God's power. It was made by God and for God. It's an advertisement. It's a billboard. It says, look, here is God's power on display. And every time it says, don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to again testify to you as to God's power and faithfulness in your life. And it's true, every day it comes up. We wish it was coming up a little earlier today so it'd be warmer, but the reality is it comes up every day and reminds us that God is faithful. God's powerful. For me, it also reminds me how big he is and how small I am. And despite my best efforts, and I don't think I'm alone on this, that I'm not the center of the world. I'm just one small part. And I tell you, there's a certain freedom that comes in recognizing your smallness, because sometimes we get so overwhelmed with life, we feel like everything's falling apart, but the truth is the world is never falling apart. The great big God of the universe who hung the galaxies in the sky is the same God that can be trusted with our day-to-day stuff, that sees us as we are. Scripture also says this, and it's crazy. He says that you are God's highest creation and achievement, that he cares more about you than he does the Milky Way or the Ring Nebula or any of those other things. He cares more about you than the sun. He's done all this for you. And if God cares more about you than the Milky Way or the Ring Nebula or the sun, then he's powerful enough to take care of your moment-to-moment struggles in the midst of your life right now. Asaph sort of continues. He goes on and says, it not only helps me deal with my doubts to remember God's power, right, that he's able to do anything, but to realize his character. In Psalm 77, it says, God's ways are holy. They are righteous. In other words, always right. And he's just saying, in other words, God's character can be trusted. In Psalm 34, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys that come from trusting the Lord. I think comfort comes ultimately not in getting an explanation, but I think when we don't have the answers, that's what we want, right? But I believe comfort comes from knowing who God is. The truth is, when we look at his character, we see that God is never evil. I know we like to blame him for a lot of the evil stuff, but that's Satan. Satan's the author of evil. God is the author of good. God never seeks to hurt his children. That's Satan. And as a good father that God is, he's always motivated by love. He's always working for the sake of his kids. He's always giving them the strength to take the next step. He's always there by their side as they're struggling through life. He's always there to remind them that he's got them. He's always there to remind them he's ultimately working for your good and his glory. He's there every step of the way as a good father would be. I don't know what kind of family you grew up. I was blessed to grow up in a really loving family. And again, I share this in the context with, I thought getting spanked was part of church for a while when I was young. I heard no more than probably anybody in this room in my life as I was asking things of my parents. But the truth is, there's not one time where I ever doubted my dad's heart or character, in that why he was doing what he was doing was always for my good. He always was out for my best interests, even when I didn't agree with him. I was probably 18 and thought I knew everything, right? But I never once doubted that he loved me and that he cared and that he was saying no or whatever for my good. And if I can say that about my dad, who is imperfect and has flaws, how much more true can I say that of our Heavenly Father? Truth is, the longer that you walk with God, and I'm convinced of this, and the more intimately that you come to know him, the more you will rest in this truth that God's character can never be compromised. Hebrews 6 talks about that. It says, God cannot tell a lie, so his promises and vows are two things that can never be changed. We have run to God for safety, says the author. Now his promises greatly encourage us to take hold of the hope that's right in front of us. The hope is like a firm and steady anchor for our souls. In fact, hope reaches beyond the curtain and into the most holy place. He says that the character of God is like his anchor for your soul. So when life gets confused and it starts robbing me of my trust in him and I get all upside down and start freaking out, I remember that God can be trusted. And there's something about that, right? Life is complicated. It's hard. Whatever you're going through, misery, you're grieving some, a lost one. But I still can trust God. I can still trust that he loves me. I can still trust that he's got me. I can still trust that he's working. I can still trust that he's good. I can still trust. And so Asaph says, I've got my questions, I've got my doubts, but when I think about God's track record, I'm comforted. When I think about his power and his character, I'm comforted. But there's one last thing I want you to give, and it's probably even a little bit harder. So that to help you understand the difficulty of this, I want you to think of yourself in the midst of your last storm or your current storm. And he says this, because he also teaches us to celebrate our future, even while we're out on the lake in the midst of the scary and the hard and the difficult. Again, back to Psalm 77, verse 15, Asaph says, you have redeemed your people by your strength. The word redeemed, I know it's kind of a churchy word. You might not know what it means, but it just means to be purchased back or to be bought back, right? That we were sold into hell, right, because of our sin, and somebody had to buy us back, right, to forgive that sin so we could go to heaven. And the only one that did that is Jesus, because he offered the perfect sacrifice as payment and then rose again. So for those of us who have entered into a personal relationship with Christ, we can say that we have been redeemed. We have been purchased back into a right relationship with God. We have been spiritually changed and transformed, and it's all awesome, right? We have been given eternal life. In Titus 2, it says, we are filled with hope as we wait the glorious return of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I share all that just to say this. In the middle of rowing that little boat in the middle of the storm, right? And we're freaking out because of the waves, and we're freaking out because of the storm, and we're freaking out because at any moment we think we're going over. Here's the deal. We know the end of the story. We know the end of the story. Jesus comes back. He sets up his new kingdom of heaven and earth. He reigns victoriously with us for all of eternity. We know how this whole thing ends. So even in this life along the path where there absolutely will be confusion and difficulty at times, where doubts and questions arise and we start freaking out, our destination has always been absolutely clear. In fact, look at the great promise of comes to us from 1 Corinthians 2. It says this, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. We know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Jim Collins wrote this book, From Good to Great, and he had this fascinating discussion with a guy named Admiral Jim Stockdale. Jim was the highest-ranking military officer as a POW in a camp that affectionately became known as the Hanoi Hilton. From 1965 to 1973, he was in that camp and tortured more than 20 times with unimaginable cruelty. In fact, it left him crippled at the end. When Jim Collins asked the Admiral, how in the world did you make it through those times of uncertainty in that camp? And one of the things that they did studies on this, that the hopelessness of the guys in this camp was brutal. There were suicides, there was deaths that were just at a rapid rate. Guys gave up hope immediately. They just thought they would never get out. So Jim's like, what made you different? What gave you the hope to keep on going? What gave you that ability? And listen to what the admiral said. He said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail and turn this experience into the defining moment of my life. And then he said this, which in retrospect, I would not trade. Every story that exists about the Noe Hilton just shares terrible brutality, excruciating psychological and mental torture, I mean, physical torture, you name it. But this guy looks at his experience there and looks where he is, I guess, during the time of this interview and said, you know what? I wouldn't trade it because it made me who I am. How did he get through? He never doubted the end of his story. And I share that because biblical hope is not passive waiting and it's not ignorant denial and it's not wishful thinking and it's not blind optimism. It's squaring off face to face with your doubts and clinging to a God-promised future anyway. That's what biblical hope is. And I don't think anybody in Scripture exemplified this more than Job did. Job was hammered with life. I don't know if you've read the story, but he was the most faithful man of God, and he got hammered. He gave Satan full license to make that guy a living hell. The only thing he said he couldn't do was kill him. So he lost everything, his kids, everything. His wife was just not necessarily help, right? She was nagging. He was in excruciating physical pain, and it was unending, and God wasn't taking his life, and he was miserable. Three friends came to comfort him, and even they didn't help. He didn't know why he was suffering. He didn't know when it was going to end, if it was an end, why God was allowing it. Sometimes that's a question that we have. Yet in the midst of this, in Job 19, which is right smack dab in the middle of his suffering, he says this. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand on this earth at the last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see him for myself. Yes, I will see him with my own eyes, and I am overwhelmed at that thought. In spite of all the uncertainty and the pain and the circumstances that he was going through, he was absolutely certain about his destiny. In another part of Scripture, he says, talking to God, though you slay me, yet I will keep hoping in you. He was absolutely certain about his destiny, and so can we. As we finish, I just want to give you this verse out of John 6. And just for perspective here, Jesus had just fed a multitude of people, right? He just fed a whole bunch of people. And the next day they came back to listen to him. And he says, oh, you're only here because I fed you yesterday, right? I gave you food and drink yesterday, so that's why you're here. And then it says he began to teach them. And he said to them things like, life is more than just food and more than just meeting your physical needs. And then he began to teach them about the things of God. When he got done, the Bible says that the response to him was, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Bible also goes on to say that many of them left that day and stopped following Christ. And as they were walking away, he turns to his disciples who were still there, and he says, what about you guys? You guys going to leave, or are you going to stay with me? And then Peter pipes up, and I love Peter because he's always the first to talk. And in verse 68 of John 6, he says these words, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. We believe them, and we know that you're the Holy One of God. I think there's a defining moment for those of us who are followers of Christ where we can just honestly say, I mean, as you look at the world, I don't really understand what's going on. I mean, this is a mess, right? Or as you look at your life, I have doubts about my life or doubts about why I'm going through this or this experience. But when I look at God's track record and I understand his character and I see his power and I understand what my future is, where else would I go? And resolve in your heart and with faith and trust, you say, I believe. I don't know what the last storm you went through was, but it was probably brutal, right? That's why we have the anxiety. That's why we have the stress. That's why we have the worry. That's why we have the fear. And when you don't know what's going on and you don't know how to fix it, what I'm saying today is you can trust him to get you through. You trust him because of his power. You trust him because of his track record. You trust him because of his character. You trust him because he's always been there and he always will be. You trust him because he's got you. Truth is, my prayer is that as you go through life, that this trust that you have in the Lord just would grow and grow and grow through all your storms and all your adversities. And that the thing would be that at the end of your life, that this would be your defining characteristic. That after all has been said and done, you can't wait to be with Jesus. And that no matter what's all been said and done and the difficult things, you've seen God's hand with you the entire time. That you trust more than anything that God's got you. That would be my prayer for all of you. You know, that when I was first in ministry, the guy said, Mike, you can do 30 years of ministry or you can do 1 year 30 times. And it's actually going to be more than 30 years. He was lying to me, whatever. But the deal is, you can go to church 1 year 72 times, 1 year 90 times, or you can go to church and experience God for 90 years. And grow your faith in him, and grow your trust in him, and grow your confidence that his promises are true, and find peace, and find comfort, and find healing in the midst of life as it comes at you. And that's my prayer. Because God's got you. Because he loves you. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, as we go through this series, we'll be talking about a bunch of harder things, and this is the time of year, I guess, to do it, because every study says we struggle, I guess, especially during this time of year. But Father, as we go through these, especially this one about doubt today, I guess when you define it as, you know, not having peace or not having hope or not having comfort, or we all doubt. We all doubt because life gets hard and it's thrown at us. We all doubt because we like to take things into our own hands instead of burdening God. We all doubt because we're weak, because we struggle. And so, Father, I pray today that you would remind us again of how much you love us, that you remind us again of your power, that your ability to do anything, that you remind us again of how into us you are, that we are your crowning achievement, that you love us more than we can comprehend, that you've promised to walk with us every step of the way, that you promised to give us the strength to take the next steps, that you promise us to be there every second of every moment, working things for our good and your glory. That you remind us and give us the strength to trust you more and more as we go through this crazy world. Father, we pray that today, knowing that you got us, and we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.